We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Yeah, now we go. This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. And I'm here with
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from St. wait a second. Where am I from again? Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri.
You move around so much, sometimes you forget. I understand.
A rambling man.
And this is, should we say it together?
Sure. Wrestling with the basics. Truth be told, I was just kind of off kilter because, again, you're wrestling with the microphone.
Again,
the microphone's winning.
People don't understand how difficult it is here because there's these spring-loaded mics and you get them all lined up and you think you're set and all of a sudden they spring away.
I don't seem to have too much trouble with it, John.
Yeah, I know. We need to switch mics. That's what we need to do. Yeah. Yeah, young blood. I'm, by the way, Jolly John Lekumsky, just to clarify that. Opening joke, Jeopardy categories. Here we are. I'm sorry. We're still waiting for you guys to respond, but we recorded these shows back-to-back, so we didn't give you an opportunity. But yes, listen carefully to the categories and let us know which category you would like us to feature on
Wrestling with the basics. And I'm trying my best to not pick the good categories. And so far, I've done a pretty good job.
Maybe that's easier to do than what you think, though. Maybe there aren't that many good categories in here, Matt. By the way, speaking, a couple weeks ago, we talked about that whole Target dental thing where they had the treat that would clean your teeth.
It tastes good and cleans.
But it turned out it was just for dogs.
Yeah.
It's gone. They've taken it off. I didn't see the sign when I went to Target.
Right?
So I'm wondering if people were going out and buying that for their kids. And they had to take it off.
I don't know. Boy, it's all our fault.
It is.
Sorry, Target.
But again, these joke categories may be jokes, but they may be amusing anecdotes, humorous stories, or interesting trivia, or none of the above, as has been the case so far. Okay, here's the options. We have proud grandfather, bad jokes, opposite words, vegetable conspiracy, and laughter's the best medicine. So what's your choice?
I think I'll take proud grandfather for 200.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm glad you did that. So again, listeners, you still have the option of bad jokes, opposite words, vegetable conspiracy, or laughter is the best medicine. Tweet or email us. Let us know which one. And you'll have an opportunity because we will be recording now for a few weeks. So you can give us your input.
That's right. Perfect time.
Yep. So anyway, proud grandfather. We told you the story of my granddaughter Lauren and the business with the tulips.
The tulips, I remember that. That was a good one.
And it gets better. So she was being screened for reading to get into preschool.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I don't want to sound like I'm in any way bigoted, but she's a little Korean girl. And so this is no big deal for her. Counting numbers and stuff like that, you know. See, is that bigotry when you say something nice
positive
about
someone?
I don't know.
Anyway. I think you're safe.
I think
you're
safe.
Grandpa. You can say pretty much anything you want.
But she is. She's just an incredibly bright little girl. So they asked her to count to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, no sweat. I mean, this is a little 4-year-old.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. You know, as it goes. Goes to 10. you know what I'm saying?
Trust us. Yeah. It goes to 10.
Well, yeah. So then they asked her. Now, this is the honest to God's truth, because it sounds like something you'd make up, but it's what makes me so proud as her grandfather. They asked her, can you count to 10 backwards? And so she stands up and turns around and goes, 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's great. She's been spending way too much time with Grandpa, hasn't she?
I think so.
That's great.
All right. Well, thank you for letting me share my little grandfather's
stories. That's great. How cute.
So here we are, though. I don't know. We got a really serious subject because we left people thinking that.
Did
maybe...
she make it into preschool, by the way?
No. Well,
after that episode.
No, that was the problem. She was too smart.
I see.
So there were only a certain number of people that could go in, and they were looking for people that might need extra help and everything. Well, she was too smart, so she didn't make the cut.
She didn't make it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, but we're proud of her, though. She's
good.
A sweetie.
Good.
Counting backwards. Matthew 18 is where we left off. Matthew. Hey, by the way, I love your book here.
Hey, thanks. Yours isn't so bad either.
How did you? Oh, that's
they
true.
Put mine first, though.
I know. Well, that's only right. You're Matt Youngblood. I'm older, so
well, put the old
later.
Guy. You can be the last gospel.
That's right. What was that, Matthew?
Matthew chapter 18, and we're looking again. We're wrestling with that issue of the Lord's Prayer, a prayer that's so familiar to us. Your children, I bet your granddaughter even has it memorized. We know it from little on. She could probably say it forwards and backwards. But yet we still struggle with, wrestle with, ponder different petitions, different parts of it. And the one part we're talking about now that we started last week is, forgive us our trespasses, our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And we talked about how, well, the first part's easy. Yeah, Lord, forgive us, please. We recognize we need that forgiveness. We prayed for Jesus' sake that God would forgive us, and how important, forgive us and please hear our prayer. But yet that second part, as we forgive those who trespass against us, that's the struggle. And that's what, you know, as pastors, sometimes we're asked about, how, Pastor, how can I forgive someone who's sinned against me? Should I forgive someone who sins against me? That's difficult, and it is. We want to recognize that.
And you read the quote from the Luther Small Catechism about doing it sincerely and gladly doing good to them, and that, of course, is the hang-up. I think we can all say, oh, okay, I forgive you, but this whole business about, well, see, there's the problem. Because it would be easy for me as a pastor to just say, oh, don't worry about that last part of the Lord's Prayer. You know, God forgives you. That's all that matters, and that's all that counts. But then again, we shared this parable about the unforgiving servant, which concluded with these words, so also my Heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. And of course, what he did is he took this unforgiving servant and threw him into jail and said, you're not getting out of there until all your debt shall be paid.
Yeah. So we kind of left on a note of despair last show, which we hated to do. But we, as promised, we're back next week, and we want to talk about the good news that you mentioned, John, in this, the good news even in this parable.
So maybe we should start by unpacking the parable from the beginning, from all the details. So if you don't mind, you want to start reading there, verse 23. And again, Matt, you've preached on this parable before, haven't you?
Sure. Yeah.
So just jump in with whatever insights and comments you've had as you've done this, because it is a very wonderful parable, but a very troublesome parable,
yes.
On the surface, at least. So verse 23.
Yeah, the parable centers on this. Well, I don't want to say centers, but the one consistent figure throughout the parable is this one servant.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it starts off with in verse 23, verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king. That's interesting that it begins with comparing it to the king who wished to settle, accounts with the servants. When he began to settle,
wait a second, because you've actually made me
think
here.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, because we're thinking it might be compared to the servant.
That's but the kingdom of God itself is compared to
the king.
The king.
Yeah, so it's not so much about the servant as what the king's going to do.
Yes.
That becomes the center for. Thank you.
Isn't that interesting?
That's
a good
insight. Yeah.
I mean, I think both of us, light bulbs just went on.
Yes,
so,
it did.
You know, the central focus, I think, really is on the king and,
right.
and his kingdom. But yet, the one figure throughout is this servant that is kind of a despicable guy, as we see. All right. Verse 25, the servant couldn't pay the master, so he ordered...
Well, verse 24. Read verse 24.
So verse 24. When he began to settle, one was brought to him, a servant, who owed him 10,000 talents.
Here's why. And Matt, again, talk about the light. See, I hadn't realized this before. This is actually in the context of the king settling everybody's accounts.
Yes.
It's
not just this individual.
To pick this guy out. He was settling with everybody. It just came his turn.
And this guy owes him Yaku bucks. I mean, these you know, if we look at our...
That is actually the Hebrew term, the Hebrew... isn't it? Buku.
well, I look into my footnotes here. Yep. A talent, it says, was a monetary unit worth about 20 years' wages for a laborer. So, well, think about that. 10,000 talents and one talent is 20 years' salary. And he owes him not just one talent, but 10,000 talents. So we're talking about tens of thousands.
200,000 years worth of wages. Labor?
I mean, that's just an insurmountable amount.
Yes.
Inconceivable almost. So 200,000 years, you know, I don't know what you want to times that by. What's the average U.S. income? I'm not sure, right? You know, if we want to say, who knows what. But, you know, even if it was, my goodness. Even if it's just $10,000 a year, do that times 200,000.
Yeah, well, then you're in your millions, and here we're maybe even getting close to trillions.
Oh,
and,
my goodness!
Wow. Now, here's my thought too. What kind of king is this that loans a guy that kind of money? What was he thinking?
Well, and I think that's part of the point too, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
What kind of king would do that? Well, what kind of king would loan him that money, and then furthermore, what kind of king would ever forgive that kind of debt, too.
Keep on reading. But thank you for emphasizing how tremendous this debt is. This is, well, it's just, who would loan you that kind of money, and how would you ever pay that kind of money back? Because you're not going to live for 200,000 years.
And that's the point. Exactly. Verse 25, you know, I wonder if, while Jesus is telling this parable, people start to snicker even. Oh, you know, because they realize just how much money that is. Yep. Like, right.
And I think, I'm glad you make that point, because I think that's why this parable doesn't impact us, because right away at this point we're thinking, this is crazy. This is just ridiculous. That kind of money? What are you talking about? Well, but like you say, it gets even crazier.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, verse 25. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made.
Like that was going to do it. But I guess you take whatever you can get at this point.
Yeah, what more can you do? It kind of makes sense, I guess. Verse 26. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything."
Now talk about snickering.
At this point,
I'm snickering. Yeah, really?
Yeah, and in whose lifetime, you know? Verse 27. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Wow.
Yeah.
See, that's why this is... We have to realize how just... great of a debt this is, in order to realize this, how great of a forgiveness this is. No, not didn't make a deal, didn't have an easy payment plan, nothing that the servant had to do.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, didn't have to make monthly installments, didn't garnish his wages. No, instead, out of pity for him, out of compassion and mercy for him, the master released him and forgave him the debt. Wow.
And again, as you pointed out to us, Matt, and I really appreciate that insight, the focus is on the king. That's who we're really supposed to be focusing in on here. And what a marvelous description of the king, isn't it? First of all, pity. So he's not doing this because the guy has done anything to deserve it. In fact, I imagine the king was kind of chuckling, "Oh, yeah, you're going to pay me back everything."
Mm-hmm.
But it's this compassion, this pity, this gutty inner feeling that this king has for this man, this pity. And then the fact that he not only releases him, but he forgives him the debt. So in other words, it's not only, I'm not going to ask you to pay this back to me, but I'm going to act like you never owed it to me at all.
Yeah.
Which is the power of those words. Because, you know, we do that. We forgive people sometimes, but you just better not do it again. And I'm going to kind of expect a change in attitude from you. But you better treat me differently, and you better watch what you have. Yeah. So it's that kind of, all right, I forgive you, but you're still, I'm holding you responsible here.
Yeah.
Whereas the words here are, no, he released him and he forgave him.
And I think of 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, love keeps no record of wrongs. And here we see this love, this pity, and this no wrong record keeping.
Yeah, so we're taking the big book of debt, and we're literally erasing it as if it was never there.
Yeah.
Not just scratching it out, but erasing it as if you never, ever owed me that stuff. What a powerful image of the king. And again, as you emphasize, this is for a 10,000 talent debt.
Yeah.
This is a debt that goes beyond anything we could ever hope to pay back in our lifetime.
You know, and with that insurmountable debt taken off his shoulders, released of it. Now, if someone else maybe owed him a few bucks, what do you think the servant would do? You know, we would, of course he would say, forget about it. I forgive you. I've been forgiven. I've had this taken off my shoulders. You be relieved of your debt too, right?
Yes, that's what you would think he would do.
Yeah.
But it isn't what he does, is it, Matt?
No. No.
You want me to read, or you want to read, or?
Well, I can keep chugging along here if you want. Verse 28. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him.
You got the deal on that?
Yeah. So 1 denarii is a day's wage.
Okay.
So he owes him 100 denarii. So that's a few months worth of wages.
Three and a half months.
Yeah. Oh, so it's
a small thing.
It's a substantial amount, but it's thousands of times less than what this man had owed his master, the king.
And, you know, I've always thought if maybe the reason the guy comes out now and starts picking on the people that owe him money is because in the back of his mind he's thinking, well, he said he forgave me. He said he released me. But it probably wouldn't hurt if I slipped him a few bucks, you know, maybe give him a few thousand and everything. You know, that's probably what he expects me to do. You know how people talk about they forgive you. But I probably really should try to do something to pay him back.
So maybe this forgiveness too good to be true type thing, or it wouldn't hurt to...
I like that. Yeah. Too good to be true. Couldn't really be that way. So now I need to maybe do something to try to.
Yeah. Need to add to it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But whatever, as you said, now he's choking this guy that owes him a fairly substantial amount, but certainly not anything like 10,000 talents.
Yeah. So in 29, so his servant fell down and pleaded with him. His fellow servant pleaded with him, "Have patience with me and I will pay you." It sounds familiar, huh?
Except this is reality. Yeah. This guy probably, you could have had your payment plan,
probably,
like you said. Yeah, that probably could have been done if the guy would allow him to.
Yeah. But he refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw all that had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. So even the other servants see this guy's, acted foolishly.
Even you and I can see that this is not right. Yeah. So if you and I can see it, well, then obviously anybody of it should be able to see this.
That's safe to say.
Yeah. All right.
So injustice here.
Yeah.
Well, 32, then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant. I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me, and should not have you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?"
And see, again, there's the emphasis, not just the forgiveness, but the mercy. The fact that he wasn't acting anything in return, it wasn't like this guy needed to do anything to get this. He just did it because he was a merciful king. He gave him the great blessings, and he's willing to forgive the great debt as well. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then finally, verse 34 and 35, and in his anger, the master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart.
And there we're back where we started with this rather harsh word, if you don't do it, that's the same thing's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, I have a gospel insight, but I what about you? What have you done with this parable? Because honestly, for years and years, I had this parable, and I thought, "Wow, this is law.
Yeah.
This is law." Yeah. And it's, you know, because we do wrestle with this. We do have people that we haven't forgiven from the heart, and we should be troubled by this then, because we could end up being thrown into prison. Because how could that possibly be after what God has done for us, what we believe and confess, Christ suffering on the cross for our sins? How could we not want to forgive others and do good to them, as we heard in the Catechism? And for me, for years, that's all it was. It was just a powerful statement of law that really crushes all of us. How about you? Have there been any gospel insights that you've had on this, or pretty much has it been a law parable for you?
Well,
as well?
I mean, what I would say here is, so will happen in every one of you if you not forgive your brother from your heart. Well, why wouldn't we forgive our brother from our heart? Why would we not want to? And I think if we don't have the desire to do that, part of what contributes to that is maybe to misunderstand that gospel insight you're about to share, and those same reasons why that servant was unwilling to forgive. And we try to bring some of those out as we kind of gave our commentary just now, but maybe we just don't believe it. Maybe we don't believe that we're fully forgiven by our master, by our king, by our Lord. Maybe for us it seems too good to be true. Yeah, maybe that's the reason, or maybe we don't think that we're fully forgiven, and maybe we are forgiven, but maybe we just need to help God out a little bit. You know, there's something we have to contribute to it. Like this other servant seems to perhaps think is the case, but if we truly believe and cling to that promise that we are forgiven. and our trespasses are forgiven, then I think that shapes how we view others. And hopefully that is our motivation. If then the question becomes, well, if we are fully forgiven, even though we have that insurmountable debt, you know, if we that we have but has been lifted from us, if that truly is the case, that's totally taken away, how could we not forgive others?
And I really love what you got through saying there, the fact that if we really fully believe that, how could we not forgive it? But the fact of the matter is that we don't believe it completely. That it's kind of like, all right, yeah, we understand we can't pay back the 10,000 talents, but we better start paying back a little bit. In fact, isn't that what we do with the petition then? Okay, so I see the part. Now, I understand you died on the cross. My sins are forgiven. I'm not denying that. But as I see this, I have to do a little bit now. I have to kind of forgive my brother so that you will forgive me. So that's my part of the contribution, which ironically is exactly what this guy thought too, that you can't completely and fully forgive me. I do have to give you a little bit, so I guess I'm going to have to start hustling some of the people around me so I have a little bit to give you, see?
Yeah.
And so that's exactly how we grasp that petition, that okay, God forgives, but our contribution, be it minor, be it just a portion, is that we forgive our brothers. And we're totally misunderstanding what the parable is all about, and we're totally misunderstanding what the petition is all about, because here's the key to the parable. Yeah, the guy gets thrown into prison, but there is a hope for the guy in prison. Did you catch that? What's the hope for the guy, this servant, this wicked servant that's been thrown into prison? Yeah, you're going to be in prison unless what
if
happens?
If you do not forgive your brother.
No. But
what?
Go back to the parable itself.
Yeah.
I'm throwing him into jail, and you're going to stay in that jail until what happens?
Until he should pay back all that's debt.
Yeah. So if it would be possible for that debt to be paid, then even this wicked servant might get out of prison. But the debt's got to be paid. The debt's got to be paid.
Yeah.
And see, here's when the gospel light went on for me, because I realized this is as good as it can get at this point in the story. But after Jesus Christ suffers and dies on the cross, giving his life, as he says, as a ransom for many, then all of a sudden you realize the truth of this parable is that's the point. We deserve to be thrown into prison. We should stay there for eternity until our debt has been paid. But of course, that's the beautiful thing. Our debt has been paid,
mm-hmm.
complete and in full. So it's not just that the Father's up in the heavens saying, oh, I forgive you, Matt Clark. You know, I have pity on you. I release you from your debt. But it's the fact that Jesus Christ has suffered and died on the cross, and therefore, yes, indeed, we know for sure, even if we deserve to be thrown in prison until our debt is paid, because of Christ and his cross, we know that our debt is paid. And so the petition is not about you forgive or God will not forgive you, but the petition is, yeah, you've actually been freed from prison. Your debt is completely paid, not only forgiven, but paid for by Christ. And now guess what? You can do that same thing for others. You actually have the power to go to other people and say, your sins are forgiven. And guess what? They really are forgiven. Their debt's been paid too. Even if we in our sinful flesh are still struggling with that reality, and we do. But the reality is, yes, our debts are completely paid for, and their debts are completely paid for as well.
Yeah, and what a blessing to be able to forgive someone who has sinned against us, and how freeing for us too. And I would encourage people that struggle with that because they've been sinned against severely, again, to just take comfort in that gospel message that, as John pointed out, it has been fully paid for through Jesus Christ, and to pray for God's grace and his strength to forgive others as you have been forgiven.
And thank you for that thought, because remember, it is a prayer, Matt, and it's a twofold prayer. First of all, God, forgive us our trespasses. And then secondly, Lord, it is really hard for us to forgive those that have trespassed against us. So help us with that as well.
Yeah.
It's all in the Lord's hands. And we're just saying, Father, help us both with our own faith, but also help us in loving and forgiving others. So, well, anyway, thank you, Matt.
Yeah, thank you.
Anything else? Next week, don't forget to email us, Twitter us, and let us know which of the categories you'd like us to use next Wednesday.
Can't wait to find out what they pick.